James says it doesn't come through study, but yes, it does, and it can, but not here. He says, do you like wisdom? Are you in a situation? You don't know what to do. You can't find it in the Word. You're up against the wall. God says, listen, man, you get on your knees. You come to me. You cry out to me because prayer is the work.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. It's great to have you tuning in today for Pastor Bill's continuing study in the Old Testament book of Nehemiah. Today, Pastor Bill concludes the message, What is a Faithful Man? Let's join Pastor.
We're always looking to our Lord. And do you know why the devil hates faith so much and he doesn't want you to walk in faith? Because Ephesians 6:16, I believe it is, what does it say? Above all, taking up the shield of faith by which you will be able to quench 25%. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the NIV version. No, you will be able to quench what? All the fiery darts of the wicked one, all of them. All you have to do is obey the command to take it up. Every time he throws a dart at you, another lie, you say, oh no, I know the God's word. And God's word doesn't say that about me. Listen, you have already won. You are not a loser and you'll never be a loser in the eyes of God. Don't ever tell yourself that. Amen? Yes, you need to speak what you know, like it says in Philemon, that you would be confessing every good thing which is in you, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You are in Christ. Tonight when we partake of communion, God looks at you and you are in Christ Jesus. He sees you as complete. He sees you seated with Christ in the heavenlies. He sees no condemnation to you. Amen? We must know who we are in the Lord. We're talking about a faithful man. That's why the devil, he hates faith. He doesn't want you to take up the shield of faith ever. You remember when Timothy or Paul was writing to Timothy? Listen to what he said. He said in 1 Timothy 1:11, he said, Paul writes to Timothy saying, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, here it comes, which was committed to my trust, and I thank God, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me, given me the strength that I need, that empowered me, here it comes, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. You know what a faithful man is or a faithful woman? A faithful man and a faithful woman is a person that God trusts. Isn't it amazing that God can trust you? I mean, if you're a faithful man, a faithful woman, Paul just said it right there, an incredible word. God counted me faithful. God trusted Paul. Listen, I want God to trust me. Amen? And I want him to trust you. I don't think there's a greater blessing in the world for to know in your heart, you know what? God is entrusting something to you. He's giving you the a ministry, and you have been given, your ambassadors for Christ. You've been given the ministry of reconciliation. You have a spiritual gifts that he has given unto you that you're stewards over. And it says in Corinthians that a steward must be found faithful. A steward means you own something or you have something, but it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to another. He's entrusted you with it to be found faithful by God. So here I've entrusted you. Just do this little thing. You who are faithful in little things, I'll give you bigger things to do. Amen? We just walk and we keep growing and growing. And God starts trusting us more and more and more. But the second thing that Nehemiah did to this gentleman here. First of all, he was a faithful man, but the second thing, he feared God more, it says, than many people. The fear of the Lord. You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 1:7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and knowledge. It says in Proverbs 9:10, it says, the fear of the Lord, not the fear of man, not the fear of others. The fear of man bringeth a snare. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning, the starting point. If you haven't started with the fear of the Lord, you haven't started in your life. It's a prerequisite. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The greatest thing that you can do in your life is to fear the Lord. It's the starting point. You know, people say, well, Bill, that just means to reverence, to be in awe. I will tell you something. I'm afraid of the one who calls himself a consuming fire. Amen? I'm afraid of the Lord. I mean, yes, I am in reverence, and I know he loves me, but listen, I mean, we're going to stand before the Lord. You know, that's going to if that doesn't shake you up, it will shake you up maybe then. I don't know. But it shakes me up now, as we're all going to give an account of the things we've done in our body. It says, whether good, whether bad, we're all going to give an account. Thank God we don't have to give an account of our sin because Jesus paid for our sin. He's talking about stewardship. But wisdom is the fear of God. Do you know, when you think about wisdom, where does it come from? Really, God's wisdom. You know, the Bible tells us Job cried out and he said this. He said, where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor, here it comes, talking about wisdom, nor is it found in the land of the living. God's wisdom is not found on this planet, loved one. Oh, yes, it is in the Word of God, but it's not found on this planet. You see, the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. Amen? Yes. So every time we open God's Word, do we find the wisdom of God? Absolutely. And the wisdom of God, whenever we apply the wisdom of God, you know, the knowledge that we gain, that's then we're applying the wisdom of God into our life. So wisdom is God's knowledge applied, being a doer of the Word. Now listen, nothing happens at all until someone provides leadership for it. And since we're talking about leaders in the church, we can put it to you this way. Nothing or no one or whatever, nothing happens until someone provides leadership for it and provides leadership by applying God's wisdom to the situation. Not our wisdom, but God's wisdom. You know, maybe tonight you're going through a trial. Maybe you're facing something. I don't know about you. I need to ask God for wisdom every day. I mean, I need God's wisdom. You know, I meet a whole bunch of people every day just like you do. And every morning before I leave in my private prayer time, I say, Lord, I need your wisdom. I want whatever I say, I want your wisdom to come out. I want to be able to discern what I am to say and I'm not to say to anyone that I meet. So, you know, if you are in a trial, you're going through a situation, remember what James writes in James 1:5. Let me read it to you. He says, if any one of you, any believer in this chapel tonight, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally. Boy, he wants to pour it out upon you. And without reproach, and listen carefully, it will be given. What are you facing right now that requires you to say, I need wisdom. I need wisdom. If you read the first chapter of the book of James, even though he's talking about trials, the things that we go through in this life, the suggestion in that text there, loved one, is that God's wisdom, now listen, God's wisdom comes by when we study the Word, amen? But you can have the wisdom of God and never apply the wisdom of God. Does that make sense? In other words, you can have the knowledge of God, but if you don't apply the knowledge of God, which is the wisdom of God, it's not going to do you any good. Now, all you just puffed up, you just have a bunch of knowledge and not doing anything with it. But if you read James about wisdom, and I pray you don't miss this, the suggestion there in James chapter 1 is that wisdom from God comes through and by prayer to God. The Bible says in James 4:2, you have not because you ask not. James says it doesn't come through study, but yes, it does and it can, but not here. He says, do you lack wisdom? Are you in a situation you don't know what to do? You can't find it in the Word. You're up against the wall. God says, listen, man, you get on your knees. You come to me. You cry out to me because prayer is the work. Your answer is in heaven, and God says, I have it. All you have to do is go to it. Listen, the measure of your desire for an answer from God will be the measure of your possession. I believe that with all my heart. Listen to what it says in Proverbs 2:3. It says, yes, if you cry out, meaning in prayer, for discernment, and if you lift up your voice, meaning in prayer, for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord, find the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth. And from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Listen to this. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright, and that is you. No wonder Jesus told us in Matthew 7:7, he said, ask and it shall be given to you. Knock and the door shall be opened. Seek and you shall find. Amen? Those are all imperatives in the Greek. Keep on knocking. Keep on seeking. Keep on asking. Like Jesus said in Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and what? Not faint, not ever be discouraged. Don't ever give up. Why? Prayer is the work. You need wisdom tonight. You need wisdom tomorrow morning. When you go into your prayer room and you close that door and you get alone with you and just God, your Father, who loves you, say, Lord, I need wisdom. You promised to give it to me. You said you'd give it to me liberally. Do you really believe that God will do that? I mean, do you really believe? See, that's the key. Are you a faithful man? Are you a faithful woman? Do you fear the Lord? That's the beginning of wisdom. Listen, here's the problem. This kind of praying, any kind of praying, it doesn't do any Christian any good to go into your prayer closet, shut the door, and if you don't pray, if you don't believe God is there, what's the purpose? See, he is there. He hears you. He's waiting on you. The Bible says the ears of God are open unto the righteous. He hears you. He hears everything. He loves you. Amen. Now, so when you go to the Lord in prayer and ask for wisdom, you have to do so by faith. That's what a faithful man, a faithful woman, that's what they are. That's why it says in James 1:6 again in the text that I was reading from, but let that person, let him ask in faith, no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. See, if you don't believe, and if I don't believe that it's God's will to impart unto me liberally the wisdom that I need in prayer when I go to him, here's what God says. He loves you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. When we are faithless, he remains faithful. But God says, here's the deal. You are going to be as unstable as water. Water, is it stable? No, not at all. It says, listen, you're going to be so unstable, you're going to be like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. The horrible consequences of walking in unbelief. Listen to the next verse. For let not that person suppose that he will receive anything, wisdom or anything else, anything from the Lord. The reason? He is double-minded and he is unstable in all his ways. Now, with all that being said, you know, as we look back now, we should be there, verse 3, you know, not all of us are Nehemiahs, okay? And there's nothing wrong with that. But I guarantee you that we can all be like Hananiah and the other one. In other words, do we have a better covenant with better promises and a better mediator? Absolutely. See, we can be faithful. We can fear God. I mean, and that is a divine must that we do so. It says in verse 3, now watch this. And I said to them, he's now giving a leadership command, if you will. Do not let the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun is hot. And while they stand guard, let them shut and bar the doors and appoint guards from among the inhabitants of Jerusalem, one at his watch station and another in front of his own house. You know, Nehemiah, I love this guy. He's a cupbearer. He's not a sissy Christian man. He comes in there. He's lining everything out. He sets up a neighborhood watch, if you will. Do you live in a neighborhood where you have that little sign in your, you know, maybe on one of your streets that says, this is a neighborhood watch area? I have one right by my house. I'm going, that's great, isn't it? You know, and we have these police cars, but they're not really police. They drive by, but it says civilian it doesn't matter if they're civilians. And they have those red lights and probably got 50,000 shotguns. I don't know what they have. But you know what? They're a deterrent, aren't they? And so he sets up these neighborhood watch programs. He puts guards on the walls, but he does something else. He says, I want you also guarding in front of your own home. Man, listen, we better guard our homes, and we better guard what God has built, because we have an enemy. If there's ever been a season in the history of Christendom, loved one, we need faithful men. We need faithful women who fear God. And if you fear God, that means you just want to do whatever God wants you to do. Lord, I'm not my own. You bought me. You own me. I just want to please you. You know what? We need to be working, but we also need to be watching. Amen? Now, look at verse 4. And now the city was large, meaning Jerusalem, and it was spacious, but the people in it were few. And here's the reasons. Because the houses were not rebuilt. So they probably didn't want to rebuild their homes because there wasn't a wall around Jerusalem. I mean, see, the wall, not only did it bring a reproach upon a people in that time of history, but there was absolutely no way to defend your city. You're just open, man. They could come in and just wipe everybody out. So they said, why should I want to build a home in a city that's not even defendable? Now, then my God put it into my heart to gather the nobles, the rulers, the people, that they might be registered by genealogy. And I found a register of the genealogy of those who'd come up at the first return and found written in it. Now, these are the people of the province who came back from captivity, those who had been carried away, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away and returned to Jerusalem and Judah, everyone to his own city. Those who came with Zerubbabel were... Now, forgive me, because I'm not going to read any of those names. Is that okay? You don't want me to read those names, do you? Not unless you want to be tortured tonight, all right? So here, that long chapter. The question is, when you look at all those names, why did God put them in there? Because God cares. Do you know why he cares? Because they were faithful. They came back. You know how few people came back from Babylon after the captivity? Listen, Babylon was beautiful. And many of the Jews who lived there, they had prospered. They'd become very, very wealthy. And they were going, why would I want to go back to Jerusalem? It is leveled. It's been burnt to the ground. You know, I mean, I didn't even grow up there. I was born in Babylon. You understand what I'm saying? So why even go back? But God says, oh, no, these are the names of the faithful people, and God wants them recorded for us. Listen, they are faithful. You know why? Because those are the men and women who left Babylon and rebuilt the wall around Jerusalem. They're also under Zerubbabel and Ezra. They're the ones who rebuilt the temple. Now, and you look at all this and they say, oh, wow. You see, they were the ones who paid the price. Anytime you build anything for God, church, you're going to pay the price. You have to be that living sacrifice for the Lord. You have to do what the Lord says. You know, like I've always taught sometimes with the staff, in order to go up, you always have to keep giving up. That's just the way it is. That's what leadership does. Now, listen, about 50,000 people, if you listen all the names and add them all up, came back. Can I ask you a question? What good is 50,000 people if they're not going to work for God? I mean, what good is that? The wall would have never been rebuilt. The temple would have never been rebuilt. The gates would have never been hung. You have to have people who are faithful and who want to work. So these were the faithful workers, but they were also something else. I want you to drop down to verse 70, and you'll find that they were faithful to support the work of God. And some of the head of the fathers, in verse 70, it says, father's houses gave to the work. Now, the governor gave to the treasury 1,000 gold drachmas. That's about 19 pounds of gold, 50 basins, 530 priestly garments. Now, some of the heads of the father's houses gave to the treasury of the work 20,000 gold drachmas, and that's about 375 pounds, 2,200 silver minas. That's over a ton. That's about a ton and a third, okay? That's quite an offering. And that which the rest of the people gave was 20,000 gold drachmas. So that was another 375 pounds. And then 2,000 silver minas. That was 1 1/4 tons. man, and 67 priestly garments. So the priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the singers, some of the people, the Nethinim, and all Israel, now look what they did. They dwelt in their cities. You know, 1 ton of silver today, and I'm sure some of you probably have that with you, right, is equal to $1 million. Can you believe that? And just think what just 1 ounce of gold is today. It's over, I may be wrong, but I think it's over $1,200. I mean, an ounce of gold. Just think about, I mean, I don't know, I mean, what would it, you figure it all up? It had to be in the millions of today's money that they gave for the work. You know, these faithful men and women, they left Babylon, they followed God. And I'm going to tell you something. Again, they got out of their comfort zone because even though they were in captivity, they were prospering. That's why so many didn't come back from Babylon to Jerusalem. So they left, they got out of their comfort zones. And you know what's wonderful? These were common people just like us. You know, they didn't have PhDs and all the rest of the stuff. They were just simple people, you know, and they followed the Lord by faith. You know, the church today is a lot like the time of Nehemiah. You know, we are surrounded by enemies, enemies that we need to save and lead to Christ. Amen? That's right. And you know what? Nehemiah built a wall, but we need to tear down walls, tear down the walls of evil. You know, the works of the enemy. Listen, you know why the church doesn't walk on water like Peter? How did Peter get out of the boat? Jesus had come. If you don't obey, you'll never get out of the boat. If you don't obey, you'll never walk on water. Does that make sense? See, you have to do what God says to do. And the moment you do that, you're empowered to do it because you're obeying the will, the perfect will of God. But you know what? It takes those who are faithful, men and women. It takes those who fear the Lord. And when you do, and you step out, you know what happens? Well, we've learned that you're going to have ridicule. You're going to be mocked. You're going to, just like Nehemiah, you're going to have tremendous opposition. But you know what? As long as you do what God says to do, it all works out. All that we need to do is just continue to do the work of God. Be faithful to do the work of God. You know, Zerubbabel and all those guys, you know, when they came back, did they do their part? When Ezra came back and those who came with Ezra, did they do their part? When Nehemiah brought all the Jews back from Babylon and all, did they do their part? Yes. Listen, we now, the 21st century Christian, we, loved one, we need to do our part. And we need to continue to do our part until the rapture of the church, unless Jesus tarries. And then if Jesus tarries, then we will finish our work. And then a new generation will come up behind us and keep working. Amen? See, that's what it's all about. And that's what this church is going to always continue to do. We're going to work just like all those years ago when this church was started. You know, we told the board, said, we're building for one reason, to turn over to the next generation unless Jesus comes for us. May that happen. May this church always keep going. May it always keep working for the Lord. You know, John Wesley said this. He said, God buries his workers but continues his work. All he needs is a faithful man or a faithful woman and people who fear God. Because if you fear God, that is the absolute beginning of a wise person, a very wise person. And God uses those that fear him. There is nothing greater for God to look at you and say, there he is, there she is. What I've entrusted unto them, I know it's safe. I know that I put the gospel in their hands, and they're going to share it. I know that I put love in their hearts, and they're going to love others. I know that if I give them the ministry of reconciliation or that ambassadorship, my representative on this earth, I know they're going to do it because they are faithful. They're faithful men, and they're faithful women. There is nothing greater than being faithful to our God.
Thanks everyone for listening today. Pastor Bill's study continues on Love Never Fails tomorrow, and we do hope you'll tune in once again. May the Lord bless the rest of your day, and we'll see you next time. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.